Well, as I was thinking about the message and going through some of my study this week, I was reminded of an episode in my life that I'm not super proud of. So you guys love to be going to start this way, don't you? Oh, great. Well, I was young and just in elementary school, and I had just started out attending at a new school. I'd moved from one end of Prince George, BC, where I grew up, to another. From College Heights to the Hart Highway, if you're familiar with the area. And I was at a new school, and I had an outcropping of friends, I guess, people that I just met, but some people I knew for a while that I grew up, you know, playing hockey with, and that sort of also attended the same elementary school. But there was one kid that I went to school with. His name was Arthur, and didn't come from a great home, didn't come from a great background. He was very odd, an odd kid. I don't say that to be demeaning to him. It's just he was a bit of an odd kid, and he would get picked on a lot, and some people would say some things to him that weren't something that you probably shouldn't say to anybody. And Arthur, he took these things, and he kind of, it's all of me, didn't seem like he didn't seem to really care or fathom it, pay attention, but I'd always tried to be with him. Actually, he was a very interesting guy when he actually got to sit down with him. He was a bit strange, a bit odd, but he would come up with the most fascinating things. So it wasn't that he was, you know, it wasn't like you couldn't hang out with him. He was a kind of a neat kid. But I remember one day in particular, we were playing. It was kind of snowy outside, but it was spring, so the snow was starting to melt. And of course, when that happens, the ice rink was disappearing. And underneath the ice rink was what we played in those times called Foursquare. I don't know anybody play that game, Foursquare, the ball, and you got to try to get to the king's spot. Well, we were playing Foursquare, and Arthur came by, walked past, and I remember one of the boys I was playing with began following Arthur, and there was a couple kids already following Arthur, so I began to follow Arthur as well, and I, you know, realized that they were kind of giving him a hard time, and they were bugging him, and they were saying things that weren't very uplifting, and Arthur was just going, he didn't care, you know, and we walked all the way around the end of the school where the hockey rink was, and we were kind of walking along the length of the school, and I was following my friend. I wasn't saying anything. As we got kind of past the principal's office window, we got like maybe 20 steps, and all of a sudden, out comes Principal Bond, and who I liked. He was a good guy, but when he came out, all he said was, "You, you, you, and you," and that was the last you. He pointed at me. He says, "In my office now," and I thought, oh, man, so you're going into the principal's office. This was before I got comfortable, I'll tell you, with the principal's office. So I am heading into the principal's office, and in my mind, I'm running over everything that was said, everything that I had said, not just to Arthur or to the guy I was chasing to, you know, saying, let's go back and play. Everything that was in my intent to say, and I was checking all of my motives. These things were running through my mind because I knew when I got into the principal's office, everything was going to be questioned. What were you doing? Why were you following Arthur? What was going on? What were you saying? And I wanted everything that came out of my mouth to be true. And I know I remember having the distinct fact, I didn't say anything. I wasn't even talking to Arthur. I mean, I probably shouldn't have been following this crowd, but I didn't say anything. And the question was coming, am I innocent in this matter? Will I be found innocent in this matter? And I don't know if you've had situations in your life that are like that, where you've had to question something you've said. You've had to question something that you've thought. And you were being under the gun where you had to think to yourself, have I done something? Have I spoken something? Have I put myself in a place where I might not be found innocent? Or what I've said wasn't very good. What I said actually did damage, hurt somebody. What I've done, my actions I've taken, have caused somebody else problems, has caused somebody else damaged. And you've been forced to process that out. It was a long walk to the principal's office. And in the end, I was found actually by Arthur himself, said I didn't even know that he was following me. And I was thankful at that moment for my okay relationship with Arthur. But you know, it got me thinking about times in our lives where we say things, we do things, whether we get into fights become heated or arguments between our spouses or our children or friends or people that we've been in working relationships with, things become heated and we've said things that as we begin to process and think back and say, oh, did I cross a line? Did I say something actually that was inappropriate? Did I say something that God would deem inappropriate in my life? Because there's a difference between saying something that is culturally acceptable and saying something that is God acceptable in people's lives. But I don't know, I assume some of you are maybe in that boat with me. And I want to point out to us that our words, my words, your words, whether good or bad, will have an impact on people around us, on those around you. And I think we can all agree on that. The things that come out of our mouth can have major impact on the people around us. And whether we even fathom it, we even understand it, or we don't. We've been talking about a little scripture found in Matthew chapter 10, verse 16, which is a scripture as Jesus is preparing to send out his disciples and to do some witnessing. He's sending them out to witness in his name and to do all these things. He's given them the authority to do, and he's sending them out. And as he sends them out, he says, I want you to go out and know this. As you go out, I am sending you as sheep among the wolves. And he says, not only that, he says, so I want you, as you go out, I want you to be shrewd as snakes. And we covered that last week. We talked about the idea of we have to really think about the things that we say. Think about the things that go on. We are to be shrewd. We are to be wise in the areas in which, as we're sent out, the people we're sent out to see, we are to be wise and to think about it. We talked about that last week. And then he also follows up with this statement. He says, and I want you to be harmless or innocent as doves. Kind of an interesting little phrase. And we're going to look at that this morning as we kind of continue on in this idea of us as disciples of Christ, those who believe in Jesus, those who have said, I'm going to pick up your cross, my cross, I'm going to pick up the cross and follow you, Jesus. I'm going to lay everything else down. And so if you are in that boat, these are some instructions as Jesus sends us out to spread his message, to spread his good news. And so the disciples go out with this under this premise, and he gives them some other warnings, and we'll look at that as we go. But as we look at this idea of being harmless as doves, I want us to really think about the idea of the mouth and the things that we say, the things that we speak, the people that we encounter, whether it's just a flippant encounter, somebody on the phone or you're dealing with the bank or maybe a little more down home conversation. We have with our spouse, we have with our kids, we have with our friends, that sort of a thing. And when you follow this scripture on, actually, we skip right ahead into the next chapter. Jesus, we see that Jesus is confronted. So he's sent out his disciples, and they've gone out. They've spread the message, or he's told them all about the message. And as they're preparing to go out, Jesus gets visited by some other disciples, the disciples of John the Baptist. And they have a question for Jesus. They kind of come up, and they are like, are you the Messiah that we've been expecting? Or should we keep looking? So just as he's about to send out his disciples, he's confronted with these guys, and they say, we're from John the Baptist, we're his disciples, and we're just wondering, are you the Messiah? Are you the guy? Are you the guy that God sent here to be our salvation, to be our Savior? Or should we keep looking for somebody else? And Jesus, as he's got his disciples there, and they've walked with him through all these things that are going on, He says to them, Matthew 11, verse 4 and 5, he says to them, go back to John and tell him what you have heard and seen. He says, the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised to life. And then he ends with this. He says, and the good news is being preached to the poor. The good news is being preached to the poor. Kind of stop there. Let me think about that. The good news, it's not just that the good news is being preached to everybody. He says the good news is being preached to the poor. Why is that? That's an interesting thing to say. Just the poor? Why is the good news preached just to the poor? Well, I want to just take you back into life when Jesus is speaking, a little bit into the lives of the people who were there and what how things worked. You see, there was an idea that was floating around in those times and in those places that if you were rich, if you were a master or you were, you owned slaves or you lived in such a way that you had wealth, it's because you deserved it. You did something to put yourself there, and you deserve that. Now, on the other hand, if you were poor or you were a slave, you deserve that as well. That's the way life worked. How you live in life is because you got what you deserved. So poor people got what they deserved. Rich people got what they deserved. Slaves got what they deserved. Masters got what they deserved. Everybody got what they deserved. That was the mentality, the understanding of life and how it flowed. You got what you deserved in life. Now, okay, we understand that. So when you go back to the biblical understanding, why Jesus would say, well, the good news is being preached to the poor. Well, because the rich already had good news. The good news of life was never actually meant for the poor because they didn't have good news. It was bad news for them because you got what you deserved. So if you were poor, well, it's because you deserve to be poor. So that's as good as the news gets for you. And so, good news messages, messages of blessing, messages of amazing things happening to people weren't for the poor. They weren't for those type of people getting what they deserved. Jesus came and said, that's actually not the way I operate. It's not the way that my good news operates. The good news is being preached to the poor. The good news is being preached for everyone. So it wasn't just that he was saying it's just for the poor. He's saying actually the good news is for everybody, including the poor. And in fact, more so for the poor because nobody else was going to offer them good news. If they were poor, it's because the gods deemed that they should be poor. Jesus says, no, actually the one true God says that no, his good news is for the poor. So that's why he kind of says the poor, those that have, they've not been recipients of good news before. It's just for the elite. Well, not anymore. That good news is for them. And so Jesus said, when he goes back to the party, he says, I want to send you out as doves. Send you out as doves. Harmless as doves, innocent as doves. It was a message that he was sending them out to send, to speak, to give to the poor, to give to everybody. It was his good news message. So when you look at the idea, why does he use a dove? Well, when we think about a dove, within Scripture and just in our context as humanity, doves represent a certain value, a certain thing. And especially in Scripture, as we open up, doves represent hope and peace. They are representative of hope and peace. So when God sends us out, when Jesus sends his disciples out as doves, harmless as doves, what he's saying is, you are bringing a message. I want you to bring my message. We've talked about this last couple weeks. You're bringing my message. You are on my mission. You're bringing my message. I'm sending you out as peace and hope to a world that does not know it, who has never experienced peace, the peace and hope that I have. And so he sends them out. And he says, I want your words to bring peace. I want your words to bring freedom to people so that they understand who I am, what my message is, and what they have the opportunity to experience. And I think that gives us a question for ourselves. Because we live in a world, really, where we have a large voice. Our voice is growing. The ability to speak and have others hear it is growing exponentially. In fact, it's out of control. What you say, and we've said this before, what you say can reach ears that they have never had the ability to reach before. So I have a couple questions. Do what you say, does it bring peace? Do the words that come out of your mouth, do they bring freedom? Do they bring joy? Do they bring the good news? And do they bring the freedom and joy and good news to the poor? Do they bring freedom and joy and good news to the lost? To those who are hurting? And do they bring freedom and peace and joy to the wolf? I talked about the wolves a couple weeks ago. And I want to say that again. Do they bring peace and joy and freedom even to the wolf? Well, why would they do that? Why would our words do that? Why would we want to entertain the wolf and the wolves in our lives and those who bring destruction, those who bring a harm, those who follow and say nothing positive? Why would we want our words to bring peace and joy to them? Isn't that the type of person that we should have combative words for? Scriptures deal with that, actually. Luke chapter 6 says, if you love only those who love you, why should you get any credit for that? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good only to those who do good to you, why should you get any credit? Even sinners do that much. In fact, he says, love your enemies and do good to those without being expected any repayment. He says, then your reward from heaven will be very great, and you will be truly acting as the children of the Most High. For he is kind to those who are unthankful and wicked. You know, the dove represents for us peace and hope. And that we bring peace and hope. And not just peace and hope to the people who we're comfortable bringing peace and hope to. Not to just those who are poor, who are easily for us. They're easy for us to feel that they need good news. Or to those who are lost and struggling, who we say to ourselves, oh, those, they could use some good news. But even unto the wolf. Even unto those who are unthankful and wicked. Because he cares for them as well. And so the words that we say, are there those who are deserving of our combative words, of our conflicting words, of our hate and of our anger? Scriptures would say, not for you or me to speak. So the second thing that the dove represents, so he represents peace and hope. The dove is a representative of the Holy Spirit in Scripture. The dove came down, the Holy Spirit came down like a dove and onto Jesus. It's used numerous times, the dove as the Holy Spirit. Oh, I'm all over here. This isn't supposed to happen. So if we go back to Mark chapter 10, Jesus says this. He says, when you are arrested, or when, you know what? He says, when you are arrested, he's talking to his disciples as they're going out. He says, when you're arrested, we can also use that in our own lives. When you are confronted, when you are arrested by somebody else's attitude, somebody else's conflict, bringing it to you. So you could even put that in. He says, when you are arrested, when we are arrested, chapter 10, verse 19 and 20, don't worry about how you respond or what to say. God will give you the right words at the right time. He says, for it will be the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Now, this was said, when it was said to the disciples, this was actually said before God sent the Holy Spirit, but he gave them the authority. They essentially had the Holy Spirit, and he's saying, as we have the Holy Spirit in Christ within us, within you, within every believer, the Spirit of Christ is in us, is part of who we are. There's a sense in which when we are confronted, when we're conflicted, when we are presented with persecution, even you could say the word, the Spirit will speak through us. Now, that's not to say that you don't have to think. The Scriptures also say that we are to be wise and shrewd in what we know and what we think. And I'll tell you, the more you know Jesus, the more you know the Spirit, the more the Spirit will speak through you and through me and through us. Now, there will be opportunities. I think the Scriptures point out that there will be times when we are really confronted and the Spirit will, our words will be our words that we don't even know. I don't know where I came up with that, but man, that was gold. That was a genius thing to say. But there's other times that we need to be in relationship with God. We need to be in understanding of who He is. We need to know Him so that we can speak and He can speak through us in our relationship with Him. For the believer, for us who believe, for us who follow, we are to be innocent as doves so that no one can make an accusation against us. And worse than that, we don't bring shame upon God. We don't bring shame upon His name. So to speak out, sometimes, you know, I've said it myself. I've seen it. I've heard it. Responses to people who are combative that reflect poorly on God. It's not the Spirit speaking through, because God is there to glorify and honor His own name. And I've heard things, I've said things that do not bring that glory and that honor to God. And in that, not acting as a harmless as a dove, but actually bringing a lot of harm, not only to the people that I'm speaking to or that I hear others speaking to, but also to God's very own name, bringing shame. Because words and the words that we say will impact those around us. And so when we think about the Scriptures, when we look at the Scriptures, and we read through this, and as we understand that we are disciples, that we're sent out, you are sent out, I am sent out, and that we are to be harmless as doves, how do we do that? What does that look like? How do you do that in your own life? How do I do that in my life? Well, there's a few places and a few suggestions I'd like to make to you. The first one is to be harmless in your speech. And you say, well, of course, be harmless in the things that I say. Yeah, the reminder we get from the book of James is that the tongue is a fire. Our awareness that our tongue is a fire. I mean, this was said long ago, and it's still true today. The things that come out of our mouths are a fire and have the ability to be a fire. James says, indeed, we will make many mistakes, of course. For if we could control our tongues, if we just had the ability to control that little beast in our mouths, the tongue, he says, we would be perfect. We would be able to treat people right. The things that we say would build people up. Life would be amazing if we could control that tongue. He says, in the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches, but a tiny spark can set off a great forest fire. And the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire. For it itself is a fire from hell itself. Within our mouths, within the what we have, within what we can control of right here, I won't make you all touch it, but has the destructive ability to wipe out everything and to pile the shame onto God's name. I mean, James even goes and said, no one can control it. But we must think about the things that come out of our mouths. Be harmless in our speech, because the tongue is utterly destructive, utterly chaotic. So how do we be harmless in our speech? Think about our speech. Don't just speak flippantly. Don't just let, you know, oh, I'll just say this, post this, you know, write this. What does your speech look like? Analyze your speech. What comes out of your mouth? The second thing is, be harmless in our attitude. We are blessed people. That is true. But you know what? It's not just back in the times of Jesus where the poor just got what they deserved. That attitude permeates in our lives today. Well, I have what I have because I deserve it, because I worked for it. When we do that, when we say that, we remove God out of the equation. We say, I have what I have because I did it. They suffer from that, or they have this, or, you know, they're the way they are because of their own choices, their own place, the place that they were at. It's the same attitude. It's the same thing that permeates in the society back then and our society today. In both cases, we remove God. We become judgmental. We begin to judge on an outward appearance of, well, if they have that or they do that, that's because I can see what they look like. We are to be harmless in our attitude. We are to remember that God is the one who is in control. We are blessed people. We have blessings. Everyone has that ability, that place where God puts into their lives. Some will be blessed their way. Some do make bad decisions. You know what? And I am not free of that. I make bad decisions all the time. And they don't result as if they would result as the same in someone else's life. I've made similar bad decisions as people who've been costed them a lot. And it only cost me a little. Another way around, you know, they've made bad decisions similar to my bad decisions, and it's cost me a lot and them a little. God is in control of that. When we start to say, well, they got what they deserve, we remove God out of that equation, and out of the equation of our lives, and it's not right. Be as innocent as doves. Be harmless in our speech. Be harmless in our attitude. Look at people as the scriptures say. It is not God does not look on the outward appearance of man, but he looks on the heart. God told Samuel that when he was looking for the first king of Israel, or the second king of Israel, I should say. And he started looking at all the guys who were tall, strong, good, the brothers, and God says, no, this is the guy because he is the heart. There's things that we cannot see in the lives of others. And so be harmless in your attitude, harmless in your speech, because your words affect people. The other reason why we should be innocent as doves, and maybe the biggest one for all of us, is the fact that we should be innocent, harmless, but specifically innocent because you are innocent. And you say, how do you say I'm innocent? I have a lot of sin. I have a lot of guilt. I have a lot of shame. How am I innocent? You're innocent. Because Romans 5 says, therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by our faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into a place of undeserved privilege where we now stand and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. You're innocent not because of what you have done, but because what Christ has done for you. I mean, that is the good news. That's the good news that God said, I want you, that's the good news that Jesus said, I want you to share. And it's been done if you believe in Christ and you've accepted him. It's been done for you. You're innocent because of that action. Without that action, you are most assuredly guilty, and so am I. And so when we treat people, and when we are, when our language, when our speech, when our attitude is one of we treat people as guilty as they are, then you also treat your, you also heap that judgment onto yourself. Because you have been made innocent by no act of your own. You cannot steal from somebody else the right that they have to Christ's throne to be innocent as well. Be innocent as doves because you are innocent through an act of God, through the grace of God, through the mercy of God. It's good news in which all the followers, all of the disciples, all those who lay down their lives, pick up their cross and follow him, it is the good news that they celebrate. It's the good news in which we share or are called to share. Our words should not bring harm. They should bring the good news of Christ to people everywhere, in every situation, because we live that good news. We experience that good news. We are innocent because of that good news. Scriptures say, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion and to the world that your God reigns, our God reigns. Be harmless as doves. Be wise as serpents. You are sent out among the wolves. But Christ has given us the good news, and we are called to share it with the world. I hope and I pray that as we enter this new year, as we enter into our life tomorrow, today, right after church, that we can look at our attitude, we can look at our speech, the things that come out of our mouth, that we can be counted as harmless, that we can be counted as innocent in the things that we say and in our attitudes toward people. I pray that over us here. Will you bow with me? Heavenly Father, we want to give you thanks. We give you thanks. And it's so easy for us to give thanks for what we have received from you. But Lord, I want us to go deeper than that. I want us to be a people who give thanks and share that with others so that they may know, that they may experience, and that they may get that same gift from you. That guilt, from guilt to innocence. That point in their lives where they struggle with their own shame, their own humiliation, Lord, all of those things that come along with that. And they can change that. They can turn that around and say, oh, I have the free gift. And I've heard about this free gift because Christ sent out his disciples to share it. And I can know that freedom and I can know that peace. Lord, I pray that we are that type of church, that we are the type of believers, that we are those people. And I pray you would go with us, go before us, strengthen us, encourage us, equip us. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.